Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. And ladies and gentlemen, the Kansas City Chiefs are back in the AFC Championship game, baby. It may not be at Arrowhead, but we're back in the championship game where we are supposed to be and where we said we'd be all along. JD, how you feeling, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How am I feeling? Hold on. Let me get my mic over here to it. How am I feeling? How about those Chiefs? That's how I'm feeling right now. That's exactly how I'm feeling. Hey, look, that was a beautiful game. Really nerve-wracking in a lot of ways, a lot of different times. Right, but I feel great. I feel absolutely outstanding, and I did before the game started. To be honest with you, I didn't really have any doubt throughout the entire game. I knew our offense was going to come out and do what they did. What I didn't anticipate was our defense giving up what they gave up. Right? I mean, I thought it was going to be a whole lot better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, look, they held up when they needed to. Right? Held them to that field goal. The guy shanks it, and so. That's what we needed to do. He pulls it to the right. Good win by the Chiefs, man. Good win by the Chiefs. But, man, I feel outstanding. What about you, Tayshaun? What do you think, baby?
I was so freaking pumped, dude. I was, like, losing my voice during that game. I was freaking out. I was so happy about that. I was telling Marcus throughout the game that Bass's kicks all looked really shaky. Even the extra points, they just didn't look like strong kicks. They were being taken by the wind on either side. I was like, wait, this is supposed to be the good side of the field. And really? He would still be pulling right, and Buckers were straight through. So when they said the 50-yard kick, when they went to 44, I was like, that's still not a gimme in this weather. And man, he missed that pretty badly. So, man.
You got to feel for Tyler Bass, JD. I mean, I'm sure you've been in some rooms where kickers have missed game-winning field goals. I mean, everyone – Scott Norwood's trending on Twitter right now, and that's a name that a lot of the young Bucks may not know, but that's a Buffalo Bills kicker who missed the game-winning field goal kick in the Super Bowl. I forget what year that was. But, I got feel for him, but, you know, not everybody can win at the end of the day, and things have to happen for that. But what a – honestly, like, JD, you mentioned the defense. That's kind of where I wanted to start today. Cause honestly, throughout the game, you know, I'm usually taking notes during the game, and I'm like, all right, so I guess we're probably going to lose this game, and defense is, you know, giving – we couldn't stop a nosebleed as far as the running game. I mean, Cook was getting anything he wanted. Ty Johnson was dominating. We made him look like Thurman Thomas during that game. So I'm like, oh, man, so this is going to be the reason why we lose this game. We couldn't stop them. They were sustaining these 10-minute drives. And, well, we won the game. But second half, and I know, like, first half, they, you know, they had 17 points in the first half. Only 7 points in the second half. Defense came to play. Spags halftime adjustments. Great. We finally put a spy on Josh Allen with the Willie Gay to start the game. When he got hurt, we didn't really have a spy for him. Second half, Chanel comes in to be the spy. But what did you see from the defense today? I know Derek Nnadi was the only guy who was missing on the D line today. And, you know, yeah. Nnadi's been kind of had an up and down career. But I mean, that's not the reason why. I mean, unless Nnadi's been that good this year where he's kind of helped out as far as the stopping the run.
Okay, so first off, let me start here. I'm getting into the defense, but one of the funniest things I got, Billy Baber, shout out to him, okay, tight end to play with me. He said, you never trust a kicker or a fart. There's two things you don't trust, a kicker or a fart. Pretty funny. All right, just going to say that one. But, you know, I tell you what I saw a lot of was we just couldn't get off blocks. And so they have a very big offensive line. Very dominating. When you look at exactly how big these guys are to everybody else, they got some absolute hosses up front, some trees. They do a good job playing together. And so they were just doing a good job. The tight ends doing a good job. The wide receivers did a good job, just getting their hands inside and blocking. Matter of fact, there was a lot of holding calls. There was a lot of holding going out there that they never did call. There's a couple times I've seen the offensive lineman, the guard, tackle Chris Jones. And they didn't even say anything. I mean, they was up around this. His waist and his legs didn't say nothing at all. And so when I'm looking, okay, let me start back again. The reality is this. Derek Nnadi has been playing pretty decent this season. I don't think that we have somebody imposing on the inside like a Chris Jones that compliments him. We just don't, all right? We tried guys, get them off the practice field. We tried to get a guy here on to be drafted. We don't have somebody up front that's going to dominate with Chris Jones pushing the guy back. Okay? That's reality. And so we struggled all year in the run game because if we don't stop those guys from getting to the second level, then you're going to see them kind of slashing us like they were. But a lot of it was they knew what to do. They started isolating our linebackers on the running back. So the running back, if you weren't bringing five or six, he was getting out into the flat or getting out into the route. And so the linebacker, which was Bolton, had to take him. That was part of the problem. When Josh sees four, he sees a lane, he takes off running. That's what he was doing. And so when you just start doing things like that, like methodically picking apart our defense, then that's why I look bad. We just couldn't stop guys. We just couldn't get off blocks. Like I said, we couldn't get guys to just, you know, destroy the line of scrimmage. You got to win in the trenches. You got to win in the trenches. So that's a lot of it. That's exactly what I've seen. But I'll let you go ahead, Tasia. What do you say?
I think we were playing too many guys deep for way too long. I think we should have put more guys in the box. I totally agree with Bill Cowher said at halftime. At their first like three drives when they just weren't taking shots, all their passes were quick. Most were behind the line of scrimmage, especially in the first half. They started taking more in the second half. At that point, when they're just running down your throat, I mean, just stick them in the box. We have sticky cornerbacks. They're good at that. They've been one-on-one. They haven't been going to Diggs a lot. Diggs has not had a lot of impactful games. Make you switch up the defense the other way at first. But, hey, I'm not going to argue with what they did. I will say in the second half, to our plus side for us, to our advantage, he did start taking some deep shots, and they actually were there, and he just missed them, or the receivers missed them. That long one, I think Sherfield, that it dragged on the ground. He had that, dude. The Diggs one that he had to readjust for, that Reed went right by him, kind of fell. He had that one. Yeah, and then the one that luckily Chris Jones threw Dawkins into him so he couldn't get the full step in on that throw, that was also open in the end zone. That was a touchdown. That was the Gabe Davis touchdown from a few years ago. So that also, those are key plays, because if they didn't do that, they would have ran it with Allen, did a quick pass to Kincaid, which is a, that quick pass to Kincaid was an automatic 6 to 8 yards every time.
Every time.
They would have done that. They would have ran the ball up the gut, and that would have been like a 3rd and 2 instead of like a 3rd and 8 or a 3rd and 10. That's why in the second half, they started having more 3rd and longs because they were taking deep shots, and they, unfortunately for them, weren't getting them.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that, you know, that, that Spags didn't bring as much pressure as you as he usually does, because I thought that that would be part of what you do, right? And yeah, you start bringing linebackers in somewhat. We've seen Drew Tranquil shoot the gap. Like, sometimes you just got to do a greater pack. And I'm like this. If I'm watching Dickerson, I watch Dickerson kind of get blown. Okay, you know, I don't like calling guys out. But if I'm watching get blown off the ball, guys are going to buy you. At some point, you just got to create a pack. Maybe you had to just take two. That way, we just don't have the one man. Take two guys, so you let your linebacker run free. And so sometimes it's just you got to do those things. But I think we started doing a little bit, like you said, of that the second half, of just trying to be a little bit more responsible in our gap and on our lane to cut those things off. And once you bottom those things up, man, it makes it tough. It makes it tough for them.
We also miss Gay's sideline to sideline speed big time.
No doubt.
See, and I hope he's back next week, because we're going to need that.
Yeah.
We're going to need that, because Allen's more up the gut and go. One cut, go. Lamar zigzags.
All over the place.
Zigzags.
Yeah. I would even, you know, maybe if it's not that linebacker, maybe you pull a nickel guy in. Maybe pull a safety in to do maybe a spy on Lamar. Because when we started seeing, when Chanel came in and started spying on Josh second half, I mean, he wasn't athletic enough. Josh was still getting around him.
Yeah.
And so it kind of made him look kind of a little clunky and whatnot, but at least he gave you something where Josh wasn't just having a free lane just to run 15 yards like he was. First half, man, it was blatantly wide open, just wide open. And it was just so frustrating because guys are looking around like, look, you got 7 guys in coverage, okay? Josh Allen sees that he takes off, but nobody's tattooing this guy. That's another thing.
Yeah.
He's a hit. Yeah, I think the one hit that – the only solid hit I've seen on him was the one that Reed caught him one good time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't even that hard of a landing when they did the replay. I was like, oh, that's nothing. He bounced right up from that. That was nothing.
He did, but I think – and I could be wrong. I don't know. It's all running together. But I think that series, he started throwing the football and it was a little bit off. That's the one he threw a little long to Diggs and McDuffie almost caught that ball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Off of that hit. It was almost off like, okay, you know, sometimes it's got to be bone jarring hit. It may not look that bad, but it's something, right? It ain't like you just come down and put a pillow and lay down like you've been doing all game, you know, because that's what was going on throughout the entire course. But yeah, make no mistake about it, man. This, if anything, what I liked about this game is it gets us prepared to what we're going to see somewhat next week.
100%. At least the game plan will be almost exactly the same.
Yes, yes. So once you go through it and you start dissecting what you should have done differently, by all means, hey, look, Lamar, much more athletic guy than Josh Allen. He may not have the accuracy in the arm like Josh, but we need to get him down, because if he don't, he will kill you with his legs.
Yeah.
He will kill you with them. And so – That was the thing about it. But I said the magic number. What did I say, Marcus? And the magic number was what?
24, yeah.
24. You keep 24. We can score 24 points unless the Chiefs will win. That's what we had to hold them to.
Yep.
We talked about these numbers in the betting show. We were like, on the high end, it'll be like 27-24, maybe 31-24, which is why I took under 55.5. Because I was like, at worst, it'll be 31-24. But man, it was. We were almost dead on that one.
Well, I took Jenny's advice and I went with my bet. I had over 23.5 for us to get the 24 plus.
Oh, okay.
And then I had under 23.5 for the Bills, which.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Which I would have hit. I think I would have won the bet if it wasn't for the Bills scoring 0.5 over 23.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. My JD, my over under hit because of the Hardman fumble and because of the missed field goal at the end.
Oh man.
Yeah. Crazy. Jenny,
go ahead.
because talking about the defense, and this is something you can speak to, because I think a lot of people look, just pretty much look at the stats, and a lot of people were saying online that, specifically the first half of the game, Chris Jones is not worth the money. He's not doing anything in this game. You're obviously watching the stuff. I mean, obviously a lot of people are ball watching, but yeah. You're looking at everything. What does Chris Jones do in this game? Let's stick to this game. What did he do in this game tonight that, you know, kind of allowed us to do some stuff, maybe second half adjustment wise, that maybe people aren't noticing? What was he doing in this game that kind of, like, you know, may not be represented on the stat sheet?
I mean, it's, well, first off, you got to be able to stop him. And what you do is you double team him. So he's always taking two. Like he's in the game plan offensively. When you go into offensive meetings, you are circling this guy. Chris Jones cannot beat us. We got to do whatever we need to do to make sure we're blocking him. And so when they brought in the extra lineman and wherever Chris is lining up, they're making sure they're chipping Chris Jones. They're making sure that they're getting a block, an extra hat on him, because he's just that dominating. So if he dominates that much, then it takes another guy out of the game. Everybody else is singled up. That's where everybody else has to win. And that's the point I was making about having another guy beside him that can complement what he does.
Yeah.
Right? Because then all of a sudden, you know, you got a one-on-one.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
If that guy wins, then, hey, guess what? There's going to be more pressure. But the guy that I seen back there was at least, you know, trying to make tackles. The guy that was close on the line of scrimmage that was making, you know, plays, that was close, you know, just in there. It was Chris Jones. Other than that, I didn't really see anybody else making a difference. You know, and it's not saying anything bad because you had a good offensive line. They, you know, these guys were swallowing dudes up. I mean, they were just holding them down. And so Chris Jones, I don't care what people say. You're not going to have a dominating force like that on your D-line, maybe ever. That's a rarity to have a guy like that. I mean, that's the reality of it. Yeah, does it necessarily relate to how many sacks he had this game? No. But we know because of his ability, it changes what they do offensively. That's just the bottom line. It's just the bottom line. So,
yeah. Just want to make sure that was known because I saw too much. You know, obviously, first half of that game, we're losing. And so, like, you have these fans, like, you know, it's Chris Jones. He's not worth the money. He, like, get him out of here. He's not doing anything. He's not stopping Josh Allen. Like, okay, well, first off, like, talk about they have one of the best O-lines in the league. And then on top of that, like, it's one guy who's getting double teamed and held pretty much every freaking play. So how is he supposed to do anything when he's getting held every freaking play?
Yeah. Josh Allen get around everybody. Who you going to get? That's the question. Who?
Yeah.
Who you getting that can do what Chris Jones has done?
Yeah.
I also love to see the average time that Allen held the ball. He was getting them out so fast. That's why, I mean, if they would have known our game plan going into it, and that we weren't going to bring heavy pressure in the beginning, they might have changed that up and actually tried dropping back, because they didn't even need a quick pass. We weren't bringing heat in a lot of the first half. So them doing that actually helped us, because we would drop a lot of guys back for those.
Well, when he was sitting back there, he had time to throw. Yep. He was doing checkdowns. So he was going deep, running people deep. Fine. Here's a check down to the back, right? That's where it was kind of killing us all. The little swing routes, the little check down in the flat, maybe to the tight end, whoever it was. And he just knew he had him. That one where Josh Allen took off and Bolton comes off the back to get him, and he just throws the little flick to him on the side.
Like, yeah.
That was creative. That was a good play.
Yeah, it was a good play.
It was a play. It's playoffs, man.
But for Allen haters, statistically, if you're box score watching, it looks a little rough. 26-39, 186 yards, 4.8 an average, 1 TD, 86 rating. It looks rough, but, you know, Bills, man, special teams against us. Special teams lost them this one, and you can arguably blame them for the 13-second loss because of the squib disaster.
Forget the missed kick at the end. Let's say the Harvick fumble never happens, which we're going to get that when we get to the offense. JD, you were a special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
Fourth and four, fake punt. I know they had 10 men on the field. They said there was 10 men on the Chiefs on the Chiefs side on the special teams, but fourth and four, you're going for it at your own 35 or whatever it was.
Bad call. Terrible. horrible call. I don't know who made that decision, but I would have been like, time out. No, hold on. Time out. Why are we going? No. Why? Look, and I get, like you said, even if we like had 10 guys on the field, you still got a ways to go. You still got a ways to go, especially in your territory too. Why would you do it? The offense, you haven't stopped the offense at all. You haven't stopped the Chiefs' offense. Okay, so it's not like you keep them at bay, because you haven't. So that was just a bad call. There was some bad calls in this game, just kind of head scratches. I know we're gonna talk about the offense. So I know we're about to go right now. So there's a lot of head scratches going on that side of it.
Before we do, refs, besides that terrible, terrible call, they had a bad, pretty bad call on both sides. That was a terrible call, getting them the fumble on that. They should have gone no fumble at all. And then the pass interference they called on the Bills, that was ticky tack, maybe a makeup call. But other than that, they let them play for the most part. Like you said, not a lot of holds, but not a lot of holds either way. So it wasn't like they were calling holds on one side, not the other. At least for the most part, they weren't sticking their nose in there.
Yeah. I thought it was a good call that against when he hit Rashid Rice, you know, kind of checking him, because the ball was definitely coming to him. You know, so that's the thing about it. I get like in that realm of like 5 yards or whatever. You know, if the ball's not coming to him, that's one thing, right? Because then you can check a guy up. I mean, you see linebackers all the time. We tell them, like, look, you see whatever's hitting, you know, whatever's running in front of you, you hit. That's what you do. But it was kind of like at that moment when Patrick's looking for him, about to throw, and he throw out the little chicken wing that just kind of catches him. So that one. What was which said the bad call on us? Which one was it?
The Harmon fumble.
Oh, well.
Look, I'm not saying it was a fumble or it wasn't a fumble, but in those situations, they're taught to go with whatever is called the field. And even Romo, who was saying it should be a fumble before the timeout, when he came back, he goes, I mean, it could go either way. Well, no. When it can go either way, you stick with the call on the field. That's it.
Unless they found evidence. So they found evidence that he wasn't down. They
said
it was a good call. That was a good call. It was a fumble. Because I looked at it too, and I was sitting there thinking the same thing. Like, well, look, is any part of him down? The thing is, when he's coming around, you can see the ball starting to get dislodged. So it's not out of his hands, but it's moving in his hands. Okay. To be honest with you, I don't even care, because of the call in itself was stupid. It was a terrible call.
Terrible.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
That's on coaching. After the first McColl blunder, the first one was on McColl. Second one is on the coaching for letting it try to happen again.
Yeah. First off, we run to the very first one we did, the reverse. Short side of the field, you got six DBs in, and you're trying to outrun them to the outside. So you got the fastest personnel defensively on the field. You're not outrunning them to the outside. Then he fumbles it. Why would you do it?
Yeah.
You know, your linebacker core is decimated. Why aren't you running the football up the middle? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Or in between the tackles. You got Pacheco and you got CEH. Both of them were slashing these guys.
Yeah.
Then you come back. Okay. Let Pacheco run all the way down there. He's running through everybody in the Bills stadium. Every single body that was up there. Right? It didn't matter who it was. We get down there and we decide to run the jet sweep with Mecole Hardman again. Are you kidding? Are you like...
I think Pacheco came out, though, right before
He checked himself out of that.
I do not care. You still got CEH. Run CEH.
Yeah.
Damn it, put Travis Kelce in the backfield and run him.
Or Rashee Rice, anyone, really.
Look, I don't care who it is. Not no jet sweep. Trying to outrun him to the outside. You don't do that with a guy that's only had the hand on the had the ball in his hand the second time the entire game. And the first time he fumbled, you don't do it. Look, and I like Mecole. I think he's a good player. But certain situations, it's players, right? Not plays. You're trying to run a play to outthink the defense when you don't need to. If you need to get Pacheco, look, and I'm saying this. If you need to get Pacheco a breather, if you need to give him a breather, take a timeout or run the football up the middle, right? Hell, do the damn Blake Bell play if you need to.
It's worth it because that'll make it a 10-point game. It's worth it. Call a timeout.
It's worth it. It's worth it. Because at this point, you put them in a position where they become one-dimensional. Now you can come after them all the time. So that was a bad call by whoever called it. That was a bad call.
If you score a TD there, you probably won't need your timeouts anymore. So what the hell does it matter anyway? You'll be up by 10.
Right. You're up by 10. So you're up by 2 scores. They got to do something. So, yeah, get Pacheco a break. Don't give him a break. Bring CEH in. Fine. Bring him in. Bring the offense, the lineman in and do the same thing. But not only that, let's also go to, well, yeah, we got the penalty called on Rashee Rice. Perfect. Beautiful. 3 straight passes is what we run. 3.
And a timeout in between that, too.
Yeah.
You call a timeout?
Yeah.
It's what you come out with? If I was Patrick Mahomes, I would have been looking at like, what? We're doing what? Why? So I just, man, listen, I just, for the life of me, like when I'm telling you just through all of my, just running through me on what are you doing at that point? You can't do that. You can't do it. I don't care. I'm sorry. That's a bad call. It's a horrible call. And we paid for it. So I don't give a damn as far as he fumbled in the end zone. We should have never ran the football with Mecole Hardman on that play.
Never.
And before we go full-fledged back and stay with the offense, I want to say that I really thought that Cook had a better game than that. 18 for 61, 3.4 a carry. I'm actually surprised by that. It seemed like he got way more than that.
His last 3 carries, I believe, were like negative yard plays. Because he had 67 at one point. And then I think he lost like 6 yards on like the last, next 3 years.
Okay, yeah, because I was like, I looked at that. I was like, man, he only averaged 3.4 a carry. Every time I looked up, that guy was gashing us.
Yeah, they shut him down. But that's what I'm saying. They started kind of bottling him up a little bit with the linebackers and stuff, kind of shooting the gap. But that's, But that whole thing, what do you think about that? What do y'all think about that? Mecole Hardman and the whole series and all of that offensively. I mean, other than that, the offense played extremely well, well. But go ahead.
Because when play happened, Tayshia and I were watching it together, and I'm like, oh, no. Because right away, I knew something weird about this play, because Rashee Rice in the backfield with him. I'm like, oh, no. Like, something weird's going to happen here. I thought it was going to be one of, like, the flick pass play where, like, you know, he does a fake handoff and flick it to the tight end. But it wasn't that. It was fake the handoff, and they give it to Hardman coming around. And I'm like, oh, no. I mean, like, yeah, it's stupid. To anything besides that, so even take a timeout, getting a run up the gut with Blake Bell or CH getting stuffed for no gain, sure, whatever. Sure. Anything besides what ended up happening. And like Dictator said, not really on Hardman. Yes, the fumble is on Hardman, but that's the coaching putting your player in a bad situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, I don't fault him for that one. I mean, I fault him for that one, but he shouldn't have even been put in that situation.
Right.
Yeah. Just to talk offensively overall, Pacheco, I mean, this guy, his vision, JD, is, and you played behind Priest Holmes, the running back probably may have the best vision of all time. Just such a patient runner. Well, you could arguably say he's one of the had the best vision of any running back of all time. But Pacheco, it looks like his vision has gotten so damn good. Such a patient runner. I remember last year, you and I at times like, man, he's running to people's back sometimes. But like, he's really grown. Like it's insane. And then 15 carries, 97 yards, 6.5 yards a carry. Just looks so fluid, man. He even had that great catch that got us down to the 3-yard line. But like offense, first half of the game, defense is looking rough. They're running 7 yards a carry on us. Offense is going back and forth, blow for blow with them. And Mahomes looking on the sideline. And Kelsey, those two guys look like they got their swagger back and they're confident. They had their juice back in them. And it just looked like the team that we knew from yesteryear or last year. That looked like the team back. And you saw Mahomes look confident on the sideline. Kelsey looked confident. Everyone just looked like they had their juice back. And we needed that tonight with the defense looking kind of bleak in the first half of that game. We needed some juice offensively. And they brought it. Yeah, we stalled and had some field goals in the red zone, which, you know, but we still got points on all those drives. And then we were scoring touchdowns. We were actually utilizing the vertical ball a little bit. And it just looked like the offense that we all know and love, that everyone's been waiting for all year. Remember, everyone said, wait, it's going to happen at some point. It's going to happen. And here we are back in the AFC Championship game. The offense woke up. So, JD, what were your overall takes the offense today?
I think they did a phenomenal job moving the chains. I think they, obviously the couple of bad calls. I think Patrick had a lot of poise. I think what you do, they did exactly what we thought they were going to do, right? We said exploiting the linebackers because they didn't have all the guys in there. They got practice squad guys and bringing guys in. This is brand new to them. And you've seen the one that just lost coverage, on Kelsey a couple of times, right? They just couldn't cover it. And so we exploited that, which we were supposed to do. Same thing, Rashee Rice getting a couple of catches. And how about the unsung hero that everybody's been kind of hating on, MVS catching a couple of footballs tonight? How about that, MVS? Yes, sir. That's what we're Hey, that's what we're talking about. Look, I get it. Hey, I know it's been a rough year for him. Rough year. But the Joker showed up when he had to.
Yes, right? He did.
Came up big, man. The one down the sideline catching that one. He caught another one, man. MVS did a great job tonight, okay? Great job tonight. And that's what you just need to do. You get guys who start to have that swagger, some confidence, is just to fit in. That's what you need to do. Just play your role. We're not asking you to be a hero, none of that. Just play your role. Do what we ask you to do, okay? When we ask you to do it. And he did that. He delivered for us. So hats off to MVS making those catches. Those catches, man. I had to stand up and cheer for that Joker, you know? So
he turns up the juices in the playoffs. Because, I mean, his best games we could think about are playoffs from last year, AFC Championship game against Cincinnati. He comes in, he catches that bomb. And that bomb that he caught was a harder catch than some of the drops he had this year.
All of his drops, I think.
Yeah, I mean, unreal.
Yeah. Well, I guess, man, guys are just focused up. And when it comes, and I'm telling you.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people.
guaranteed. Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
There's like a, it's a flip bit that's that you hit during the playoff time because you realize the stakes of going home. And some guys up to the task, some guys are not. And so him coming in and delivering like he did, I'm like, maybe he is a playoff dude. Okay, that's, hey, I'm fine with that. Hey, even better for us, right? It's even better for us.
Yeah.
The offensively, I think it was just matchful to run Pacheco because Pacheco was just outstanding. Now, going back to your original question, he was, man. He's got great vision. He, like you said, he's got a lot of patience now. He's running harder, but I think he's starting to figure it out. Things are starting to slow down for him. So when that ends up happening, when the speed of the game starts to slow down, right? I know he said it the first year, right? It didn't slow down for him. Now it's starting to slow down to him. Now he's starting to see it now. And so he's just eating. He was phenomenal. CH coming in was phenomenal too. So I love our running back room, man. And, you know, they feed off each other. That's what I love about it. But, you know, Pacheco coming out doing what he did, man, there's no reason why we shouldn't be giving 10 the ball all the time. All the time. So that's what bothers me when we get down into the red zone, or maybe 10 on in, and we decide not to run it like we should. Like, first down, you throw the ball. Why? Now you're behind the chains. Now you got to throw the ball on second and third down to try to make something happen. Well, run 10. You just got our way down there. Run 10. But all these guys, man, I think they all came in prepared. They was ready to go play, and they showed that. Our tackles did a great job. Our interior line did a tremendous job holding up. I don't think Von Miller got back there and sniffed Patrick Mahomes not once. He got outside of the pocket maybe one time. They gave him a little pressure. That's about it. Other than that, shoot, Patrick, man, his jersey is clean as a whistle. So
yeah, no sacks by either team today, which is surprising because on our betting show we were talking about, you know, 3+ sacks in this one, and you know,
even more impressive for us because Patrick was actually sitting in a pocket and like waiting plays out and like looking for plays to develop, whereas Allen was most of the time was just doing quick hitters.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you look at the total yards, and if you just saw total yards, it doesn't tell you the story at all about this game, right? They had 7 more total yards, 368 to 361. We were so efficient and so effective on offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had 31 more plays than us, and we had 7 less yards. Think about that.
31 more plays?
31 more plays. It's 78 plays. We had 47 plays.
Are you kidding? Wow.
And we had 7 less yards than them. Pacheco almost averaged double the yards per carry that Cook had. And if you look at yards per pass, Mahomes almost averaged double yards per pass that Allen did. Allen averaged 4.8 yards average, and Mahomes 9.3. We only, going into the fourth quarter, I thought it was a mistake. We only had 3 third down tries. So we weren't even getting to third down most of the time.
Yeah.
We only punted once. I mean, they only punted twice. But, I mean, it was incredible, like, how efficient we were. And we were just – they had 15 more minutes of drive time.
Wow.
Of time possession. That's insane. They had the ball pretty much the entire game, which probably didn't help our defense. When we got the ball, man, it was like last year all over again. We were just quick striking and, like, large chunk plays. We had so many large chunk plays. You look at a lot of our guys, Pacheco longest play was 29 yards. CH longest play was 28 yards. Mahomes' longest play was 24 yards. Kelsey's longest play was 29 yards. MVS 32, Rashee Rice 25. You look at all theirs, they didn't have a play over 18 yards.
Yeah, I think that's what they were saying. He didn't have a play over 20 yards. So it's hard to beat a team in some plays.
I mean, Noah Gray and Pacheco's catches were about what their main receivers' longs were. Because, I mean, Kincaid was catching 6 to 8 yards each time, but his longs was 14. Shakir was 13, and he's like their deep threat. Really, a lot of it comes down to those missed opportunities that for the deep plays that they just couldn't convert. That was a huge, huge difference in the game. But man, our offense, man, and you can just see, like you were saying, Marcus, on the sidelines, they were so locked, and they knew they had it, the juice today. They knew it. They were like, man, get us back out there, dude. Just get us a stop, and we'll be all right. And on top of that, because well, usually when you think, oh, when a team loses time of possession, but they're, you know, outscoring their team, they probably had turnovers. They got the ball on the 20-yard line. We didn't. Everything was a drive. Every single time we had the turnover. We lost a turnover battle on top of everything else working against us.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, our worst third down conversion of the year. Percentage.
One of five?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
And one of those was a kneel down. The end where we had three straight kneel downs, because you go back to the plays aspect, we kneel down three times. So really, we had 44 plays, not 47 plays. And one of those third downs, you should have actually won for four, because the one of those was a kneel down.
Yeah,
man, I did not know it was that lopsided as far as
crazy. Because they never won fourth downs. How many fourth downs? They went for 3 4th downs that game. They had 14 third downs. So between third and fourth, they had 17 third and fourth down tries.
So how many fourth downs they go for? How many?
They went for three. They were 2 of 3. So between third and fourth, they were 9 of 17. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's why their drives were so long. That's why they had the ball for almost, you know, that's why they were over 37 minutes.
Right.
But, man, we took every single time we had the ball, we took advantage of it.
Yeah. Phenomenal job. Just an absolutely phenomenal job offensively. And like you were saying, it did feel like that the old offense of the Chiefs. Right, like nobody, they couldn't stop us. That was the thing about it. They could not stop us. The only one we had was, you know, going into halftime. That was pretty much it. Then they had the other one too, but we were doing pretty much what we wanted to do against them as well. You know, obviously we don't make a couple of questionable play calls. It was incredible game by them. By Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Rasheed Rice, Pacheco, CEH, MVS. I'm trying to think of the whole offensive line. All those guys offensively, man, look great. They look great.
Yeah, man. Wow. Yeah. ARG and KRT, I'm so pumped right now. I'm not going to be able to go to bed for a little while.
Yeah. I'm gonna be watching all the post game reaction shows. When I'm done with this, to see what the experts who picked against us this week. I want to see how they roll back tonight.
I was freaking out. I mean, I'm ready to freak out now too. Just I'm being calm right now.
What I loved about this the most, JD, and this is something we've talked about before in the whole Mahomes era of this show. Everyone always said the narrative is keep Mahomes on the sideline, control the ball. Control the ball. And in this game tonight, with 15 more minutes of time with the ball, possession time, didn't matter. I mean, like, that narrative has been the main thing. You want to be Patrick Mahomes, you want to keep him on the sideline. Well, they did it tonight, and look at the outcome.
Just being efficient, that's efficiency. And so, Patrick, you could tell him, man, he was just locked in. He was locked in. Didn't have that grimace on his face that we've seen, you know, at the very beginning of the season, mid-season, at the end of the season, some of the games. But it really started getting to the point of them guys kind of figuring things out. And Tony Romo made a point about this after the slew of other points he was trying to make. But he was saying, you know, Rasheed Rice catching the one was, yeah, he's not running to get covered up. He understands to find the window. Like I said, it's an easier read for Patrick. And so it's an easy throw and catch just in that transition with them two. And so that's what you want to be able to see. So once guys start to get it, like, okay, I'm starting to understand. And we knew it was going to take some time. It was going to take, you know, obviously the pain and the struggle to go through, the failures, to get to the point where you want to get to. And so if they continue to roll out like this, I'm telling you, man, like somebody was saying that before, like, man, JD, we in to win it. We are in to win it. Look, make no mistake about it. The Chiefs weren't just coming into the playoffs just to show up. This is not one of those things you just come in and you're trying to get a moral victory and hey, we did okay, we did one for the game. It's not that. Okay. These guys are on a mission to win the Super Bowl. Okay. And everybody was sitting over there talking about, yeah, they're 11-6. All they, you know, the offense had to look great and all of this and all of that. All these talking heads been sitting over there the whole entire week just doubting the Chiefs. That's all they've been doing. Everybody else, you know, man, practically almost everybody knew, oh, I'm going with the Bills this week. I'm like, really? Okay, fine. You go with the Bills if you want to. All right? You go with them if you want to. I'm going with the Grim Reaper. Okay? I'm going with the guy that's dating Taylor Swift. And I'm going with the guy with the big mustache. That's what I'm going with. And the kid from Violent. That's who I'm riding with. That's who I'm riding with. So if you don't know who those guys are, they were Super Bowl champs last year. Okay? And there's a reason for it. So yeah. Don't think these guys are just going to skirt out. It was going to be easy for them. It wasn't going to get done that way. I did it like this monologue, man. I wish I sent it to you. But maybe I do it on our show maybe tomorrow or something. But it was talking. It's called. It's a good story that Dick Vermeil talked about, faith and the wheelbarrow. Okay, so it's a great story, faith and the wheelbarrow.
Yep. So we'll be doing that on our grade show tomorrow, where JD will have this monologue. A Dick Vermeil story here, which of course we love story time on this show. We love it. JD, so we talked about. We're going to get into a little preview of who we're playing next week, but. Talk about certain things. We've obviously talked about the Hardman play ad nauseum because score that, game over. We're not even talking about this crazy ending of Bass missing the kick. But yeah. Another thing was Josh Allen fumbles the ball. I mean, JD, one of the biggest things that we learn in youth league football at one of the first things they teach you, don't try to pick up the ball and run. Oh, Jump on the ball.
Oh, man. Brutal.
How mad were you? I mean,
I rolled on the ground. I throw my hat up in the air. I fall on the ground. I'm rolling on the ground. I'm just like, what are y'all doing to me? What are y'all doing? Like, this doesn't make any sense at all. Like, just jump on it.
Yeah.
You don't have to pick it up and try to score. Just get possession.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. Oh, my gosh. Then they wouldn't even have a chance and opportunity to get, like, kick or field goal to try to – or whatever. Like, in that – the whole series. Oh, man.
I know.
Like that, man. It just kind of frustrating.
This loss would have really stung.
Oh.
Because of that play, the Hardman play, mm-hmm. and the not challenging the lateral in the beginning, which was also forward, in my opinion. That was also brutal. Just some brutal plays would have been – oh, man, that would have been hard. But we're not there. We won.
Yep. Right.
some standout performers today. Obviously, we mentioned MVS. I'm really happy that he had a big game today, but big plays, timely plays today. So huge for MVS. Obviously, Mike Edwards concussion. So we're gonna be monitoring that this week. Willie Gay's neck injury. We're gonna be monitoring that this week. But Shamari Connor, the guy that we were really huge on when we drafted him at Virginia Tech, out of our backyard, Virginia here. He's proven to be an amazing open field tackler. I mean, he was the one who tried to try to take that ball and run it, but you know,
okay.
Sometimes you all want to be a hero, but anyway, he looked great tonight filling in. Yeah. Him and Bush stepped up with Mike Edwards out. They came in and did their job tonight. And that Shamari Connor's one guy that just kind of stood out to me tonight. He was all over the ball and his tackling was phenomenal. JD, what did you think about Shamari Connor?
He did a tremendous job filling in, but that's what depth gives you. And so the thing is, you want to have quality depth. So yep. When a guy goes out, you don't want to have any type of lag in, you know, any of the performance. And you didn't really see any of that, right? But I was like, okay, but I knew Connors was coming in. So I know he's a solid guy. He's been getting playing time all year. So it's not like he was a dude that was just kind of brand new to things. Yep. And the group in itself gives you that confidence. I think Spags got those guys playing at such a high level that none of them feel like they're not worthy going out there and playing, okay, or going to feel like they're, you know, uneasy about any of their performance. I'm guaranteed Spags like, all right, man, shoot, it's your turn. Go ahead and go turn it on. Go make plays. And I'm sure he's like, yeah, no problem, coach. So that's a good thing, man, when you have that type of depth, man. And I like Connors a lot. So he comes up big, man. He makes a lot of plays. During the season, he would come in, you hear his name. So like I said, man, it wasn't necessarily anything new to him coming in and getting playing time. But solid performance, man, is that. That's what you needed.
Tied to the lead in solo tackles on our team.
tonight. It really, wow.
Say it again.
Tied for the lead in solo tackles for the game.
Really?
Yeah. Eight.
Damn.
Him and Reed both had eight. But if you look at, you know, our top solo tackles, number one tied and number four, or I guess three, Tranquil. I mean, Veach attacked two positions mainly in the offseason. He attacked safety depth, and he attacked linebacker depth. And, man, do we need it. We lost Gay. We already lost Cook.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
We lost Edwards tonight, and the guys didn't skip a beat.
Right, right.
Hell of a job, man. Hell of a job doing that. We give them a hard time. Everyone gives them a hard time about, you know, receivers not getting this guy, not getting that guy. But you know what? The guy he stuck with made big plays tonight, MVS, and the guys that he went out and got via draft late in the draft and signed at great bargain prices showed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
And on the other side, and the Bills display the polar opposite of that, not really having depth in the DB department as well as the linebacker department. That's why, you know, I mean, most of their injuries were DB and linebackers. And obviously, they had a lot of injuries, so it's on the really big side on the other end of the spectrum. But, I mean, they didn't have the depth. A.J. Klein's guarding Kelsey. I mean, come on.
They did have it. All those guys got injured, too. They lost their Tranquils, their Edwards, like last week and the week before. Man, they lost everybody.
Yeah, they were just unfortunate, man.
Yeah, they were done. They were depleted. I mean, like we need. I said this to you before the game at some point, Mark. Because I was like, if our offense doesn't have a good game against these guys, same thing with last week. If we didn't look good against these depleted defenses, then there is something really wrong with our offense. Because these are the games you got to show up. And you know what? Our defense carried us most of the year, if not all of it. Time for our offense to return the favor a little bit, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and they did it. They delivered when they're supposed to. That's exactly how you're supposed to show up, right?
Yeah.
So, it's going to, I tell you what, and I know looking ahead, look, this is going to be a good matchup against Baltimore in Baltimore. Okay. But I do believe we have enough to do it. We have enough to necessarily do it. And like I said, it was great to play this game against this type of offense. That our defense needs to see. And same thing with our offense, you know, need to see defensively what they do. They're going to be ready. They're going to be ready. And Patrick talked a little bit about that at the end, kind of alluding to that. Hey, man, they got a lot of pressure on them. And I mean, the Ravens got a lot of pressure, okay? And I'm telling you, when they did not want to see us. That's the one team they didn't want to see was the Chiefs. They didn't want to see those guys. You know, they wanted to see the Bills. You know, Bills are heard, this and that, blah, blah, blah. That's the guys they wanted to see. Well, guess what? The nightmare just came true. The Grim Reaper is showing up. He's coming to Baltimore. So be ready.
Yep. So, yeah, at least in there, obviously this whole week's going to be a preview of the AFC Championship game. So if you're new to the channel, JD and I tomorrow will be on our show where we grade the Chiefs performances at each position group tomorrow. And of course we'll have, you know, our sidebar conversations as usual. And we got a story time thing from Dick Vermeil at JD we'll go into tomorrow. And that's 7 p.m. live stream. And then Wednesday we'll have our show previewing the game against the Baltimore Ravens. But before, you know, obviously I quickly want to kind of chat about this Ravens game and how you see this matchup. Right now, Chiefs obviously on the road, 3 o'clock next Sunday. We are a 3-point underdog. And naturally, the home team gets 3 points. So pretty much Vegas sees this game pretty even. And then looking at the weather, I mean, this is a polar opposite from what we've been playing in the last few weeks. 45 degrees, and it looks like it's going to be 45 degrees and cloudy at the time of game time next Sunday. So how do you kind of see this game going, JD?
I mean, you know, I'll get into it this week, just kind of talking about it. But I think – you know, what we had to do, same thing. I told you what the formula is. It's pure and simple. It's got to be 10. We got to run Pacheco. Okay. We got to get Rice going, and we got to get Travis Kelce going. And then everybody else filter in after that. And so if our offense line does a good job of just keeping everybody out, Patrick Mahomes, PM15 is going to pick him apart. That's what he's going to do. And so offensively, I like our chances to get there against their defense, right? They have a very good defense, very stingy. But these guys, because of what we did this week, going to have a whole lot of confidence, a whole lot of confidence. And it was good for MBS to show up. Now, maybe a couple other pieces may need to show up as well. Defensively, same thing. We know they got a good running game. We know they got a good passing game. They got a tight end. Likely, they think Russell is going to be back this game.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews, good wide receivers. And, you know, they got Lamar. So, it's a good matchup for the Chiefs, man. But this is what we needed. We needed this. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This is the tough road that everything we needed to do to get to where we need to get to, pure and simple, right? We didn't want it easy. We didn't want to do anything that was going to be like, oh, okay, you know, y'all didn't earn y'all stripes. We earned everything that we got. We beat everybody that's been doubting us, and I don't see why we won't continue with that whole plan. So good matchup, man. I'm still with the Chiefs. You know that 100%.
Well, I know that. Tasia, first glance, what do you think about this? And obviously, you'll be joining us for Friday for our betting show to talk more about the numbers and stuff. But first glance, what do you think about this matchup?
3-point underdogs start. That already came out. So yep. we're plus three. I think it was a great practice game for us today to go against the Ravens. I couldn't pick a better opponent. Obviously, the defense will be much upgraded compared to what we just saw Buffalo. But, you know, we're in such a groove right now. We're not – I just feel so much better going into this game with the way we played. I don't care about the defenses being banged up. It's a playoff. So we're not crawling into the playoffs. We're not limping into it. We're like, you know, we're confident going into this game, and we feel like we're the champions. And we – for the first time in a long time, we've consistently played like the championship team that we are, which is great.
Yeah. Looking at obviously, you know, they lost four games in the year. One of the games they lost was last week of the season where they rested their entire starters. But they lost to the Colts 22-19. That was actually at home too. Interesting. I have to look at the numbers of what happened in those games, but they lost to the Browns. During the season, that was Deshaun Watson, Browns at the time, 33-31. So it was a high scoring game. And then end of the season. So like, yeah, I mean, Steelers, they lost to the Steelers 17-10, but divisional games. So that, I mean, you could kind of throw those, it's kind of a crapshoot, but yeah, I mean, these aren't world beaters by any means. This was kind of the beauty of the NFL this season. There was no team that was a world beater. All these teams are so close in talent and everything. But we have an upper hand where we've played in these moments before. We've been there. I mean, they call it the Arrowhead Invitational, the AFC Championship game. Not this year, but we will be representing in some way being there. So, like, I mean, we have that kind of championship kind of pedigree that these other teams that we're playing against don't have.
Yep.
I think with this what we do defensively, this would be the game that you bring pressure. Spags needs to bring pressure this game because of maybe the, I won't even say deficiency with Lamar throwing footballs, but they don't really have too much of a quick passing game. They like throwing it more vertical down the field. And so when we start doing some things with, you know, bringing some, you know, pressure and blitzes, you know, especially if you don't know where it's coming from, I think that's the key of it. And I remember the Pittsburgh game was something like that. He's going, it just getting after him. And once you start getting after Lamar, get him frustrated, get him start fussing at everybody around him, everything, it changes things. So I think that's going to be what we're going to do, man. Spags down the things up, down it up, man. Shout out to everybody coming out tonight, man. Come seeing us too, man. I love it. New faces in here. Appreciate everybody coming in, man. Just giving your comments and just talking to us. So, you know,
yeah, I'm glad that everyone's able to come in and chat and celebrate with the another win, man. I mean, and that's the thing we always talk about, but, you know, really enjoy it and savor these moments and stuff. Because as Chief fans, we know that this is not a normal occurrence of what we're experiencing right now in Kansas City. So, like, you know, just enjoy the ride for as long as we got this team that practically lives in the AFC Championship game every year. And it's really become a Super Bowl or bust for our fan base, which is just surreal to even say.
Absolutely. Hey. Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I'm still juiced up. I am. About those Chiefs. About those Chiefs, man. Dang, got it. Woo! Woo! That's a great win. Great win. Great win, not just for the Chiefs players, but for the fans out here. You know, the fans are sticking with them. And hey, you ride with them, like you said, we ride with them. Okay? You ride with the Chiefs, baby. You ride with them.
Always.
Always. Always.
I'm seeing the comments of Mike Brennan, our guy. He says he's going to the game and the tickets are 500 plus. Tej and I were actually looking because we're in Norfolk, so it's backyard for us, about an hour-ish drive. But
yeah.
Nosebleed seats, like it's like $600-$700 for those things.
Yeah, it's anywhere from I'm looking right now. I'm on this the ticket. Ninth row, $900.
Wow, I'm not doing that. You gotta be crazy, dude. Not doing that. I will say, 45 degrees for this time of the year, that's like a hot summer's day compared to what we've been dealing with around here. But so, nah, I ain't doing that.
Not up in those, not those nosebleeds. I'm like 50 degrees. Much colder up there, boy.
Oh yeah. Well, they said last week at the Bills game, because that there was no assigned seating, because, you know, they let anybody in to go to those games. Last year, there's no assigned seating. But he said the upper deck, completely clear. Nobody was in the upper deck last week. Because, I mean, obviously, it was like 40 mph winds in, like, the cold climate.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
You could be in a hot tub the entire game. You'd have hypothermia.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. I want to echo what JD said about everyone, the engagement we had tonight, the amount of people. I think it was the most people we had in a live chat. I think we had 120 people at one point. So kudos to everybody who came in and saw Chief Concerns for the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Come get the goodness. I'm telling everybody, look, y'all keep coming in. Come get the goodness, man. We keep it coming.
Baby.
Keep it coming. Marcus and Tasia. Hey, man. We bleed the Chiefs. Okay, and we give nothing but love out here, nothing but love, and we're honest, right? We're honest guys. You know, you don't come into other places and kind of get what we get. You know, I've seen some other spots, and I'm just like, hey, I don't know, you know. But with us, Dash brothers, y'all do a tremendous job, man. Thank you, brothers, man. I love you guys.
Okay? And you do an amazing job as always, JD. Yeah, and we love you, brother.
Likewise, love you, pal.
Again, I just want to give everyone an update for the. We still have like 86 people in the chat right now. So tomorrow night, 7 p.m. live stream, JD will give a grades for each position group. And then Wednesday, 7 p.m. live stream, a preview of the game on next Sunday. Friday, a betting show. We'll go over the best prop bets to get in for this Chiefs Ravens game on Sunday. And then, of course, post game show after the game on Sunday. But everyone, thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns. We love you guys. Love you, JD. Love you, Tej.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Oh, how about those G's? Yes, sir. One more. Just one more.
I feel like we need to get the Hulkamania. You need to tear your shit.
Yeah.
I keep seeing this in the background, Marcus. It was giving me right there. That's what it is. It's in the background.
Yeah. Juice. It's me and Mahomes and Kelsey juice from today.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. Well, everyone, enjoy the episode. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Love you guys.
Later, guys. Love you all.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.